Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. B-F-T. Live from the home studios presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with the bald-faced truth.
It's my favorite podcast. I listen to every episode. The Baseball Family Podcast. You can get it on iTunes, SoundCloud, wherever you get a podcast, you can find this podcast. But Troy Silva, who for a long time as a baseball player himself, amateur and professional, and now a coach and a dad, has been speaking baseball truth. He and his wife, Danae, have a podcast now that is wildly popular. I've talked about it on this show before. I think they're a great 1-2 combination. You all know that I bring Anna on the show. She kind of keeps me honest. Danae does that on the Baseball Family Podcast with Troy. They are joining us now. I'm going to try to get them both on the phone here without hanging up on Troy. Now I'm bringing Danae on. I think we got them both. Troy and Danae Silva, I think you're both on. How you guys doing?
Hi, John. We're here.
Great.
I'm here, John. Thanks for having me.
How is the family amid a pandemic with sports kind of, you know, the first of all, the shutdown and all that? How are the kids doing?
Oh, we're good. We're
different here. Go ahead, Troy. It's echoing.
We're naturally homeschooled parents anyway and homeschool our kids, so this is no big deal for us.
You guys just rolled right into this thing. Your last episode, I listened to it and I was immediately like, I need to get these guys on. Maybe I can start with you, Troy. You know, the idea of keeping kids focused and keep giving them hope when, you know, in some parts of the country, including the state of Oregon, until today, their kids were not allowed to play. They were one of the last states to come back. How do you keep a kid focused and hopeful amid all this?
Well, isn't that the question that everyone's asking right now? I think we can do a lot as parents and as coaches right now. I think we just got to keep it positive. For us as a family, we just try to do as many things we can at home. We're opened up a little bit more down here in Arizona, so we do have a little bit more freedom to go out and practice and play and do kind of the normalized things, if you want to call it normal, with wearing a mask when you coach. I guess that's normal. But I think hope is something that we got to stay positive with, because it is a weird time. And I think if we can stay hopeful and keep the work and keep the eye on the prize and the goal, is just a little short little bump in the road that we're all on right now, that once we battle through, we'll be good to go.
A lot of times you guys in the podcast will talk about, you know, Troy, you're talking about fundamentals, or you're talking about practicing or how you practice. And I notice Danae is kind of the heart and soul of this thing. Danae, when you hear that question, how in tune do parents need to be with their kids right now?
Right now, I think just encouraging and being alongside of them, walking through it. It's hard because it is very different in the different states. Here we do, like Troy said, have a lot more freedom. So I just think you just need to be there to answer questions and be open and get out and play with them.
Troy, the season gets interrupted from the beginning, and I don't know how much you guys got to play in the baseball softball world there in Arizona, but there does seem to be hope on the horizon. What did you tell the parents and players who said, hey, how do I get better when I'm not playing games or I'm not able to practice?
Well, I think first and foremost is just find a way to get it done and find some time to actually put in that work. We can do a lot of things just at the, you know, comforts of our own houses. If you have a tee or a net or whatever, play catch with your kids, use that time to just kind of build that relationship and just be there during this time. So there's not a lot of people out there that are getting a ton of games in right now, but there are some things that you can be doing for sure. I think one of the things is overcoming the boredom of kind of being at home and doing the same things over and over. So doing some fun things, hit a wiffle ball, have some sort of family game. There's a whole bunch of things you can be doing to continue to work on your game, so to speak.
the feedback that you guys get on this podcast, because I love listening to it, because it's like just the, I think the chemistry between you guys is phenomenal, and then you bring JJ on, your son, and he's funny. And Danae, you know, the feedback you get from people who listen to the podcast, what are they telling you?
They enjoy it. It just gives them some different point of views, you know. Me listening to Troy all the time, it gives me a whole different view of baseball.
Yeah.
But people enjoy it. They just enjoy the family part of it. Yeah. With the kids coming in and talking.
It is family. Like, when you talk about youth sports, like, isn't that kind of, it's something you guys all do together, isn't it?
Yeah.
Troy.
We do it all together. And even our daughter, she doesn't play, but she comes along for the ride and enjoys all of it, so.
Troy, let me ask you, you know, I get asked all the time about scouting services and private lessons. And, you know, if you're not careful as a parent in club sports or youth sports, you can get sucked into that vortex pretty quickly, and it gets expensive. What should parents who have kids that are in club sports be thinking about when it comes to maybe, you know, the idea of not pushing them, letting them find it by themselves versus encouraging them? Where's that line for you?
Well, you just opened up a whole can of worms. If you want the baseball truth teller, Troy, to be speaking some truth right now, I can go on and on. But the reality of what I talk about is make it fun for the kids. If they're not having fun, if they're getting burnt out by the time they're 12, 13 years old, it's just, they have no chance at it. So it's got to be fun. And as far as a parent is concerned, they just got to be patient through the whole process. Most people, it's like 99.9% of the people aren't going to be, you know, signing early or committing early to their schools. It's just not going to happen. So they got to enjoy the process. Don't put too much pressure on them, because I think pressure ends up taking over a lot of kids' mentalities, and then they end up having more pressure to perform, not just to enjoy the moment, but to think about, you know, 4 years down the road. So it gets a little bit crazy. So for a parent, I would just say enjoy the process, be patient, and quite honestly, if your kid's good enough, you're going to know they're good enough, and they'll be able to do what they need to do when they need to do it. But I think it does get too out of hand way too early.
Troy and Danae Silva, they are hosts of the Baseball Family Podcast. You can get it on iTunes or wherever you get a podcast. That raises an interesting question, because I had somebody the other day tell me their kid is just starting out in their sport, is not quite on the level of maybe the top players, is really probably at the back of the pack when it comes to talent and skill. Is it better to push a kid like that and have them play against better competition? Or at that age, if we're talking about somebody 6, 7, 8 years old, should they be really focused on developing skill and building confidence? What do you guys think about that?
Well, at 6, 7, 8 years old, I think they need to be focusing on how to tie their shoes properly and where their glove goes on the hand and where to run. But I just think they need to be in an environment where they're learning the game and having fun. I mean, that's just the issue with everything. I think too many times you want to play at a different level or a higher level or whatever, and it's just not that important. They're 7, they're 8 years old, even 9, 10, 11, 12 years old. It's really not that important. So I know Danae would probably want to add to this, but I just think it's actually rather ridiculously funny when I hear some of these questions.
I would ask this question, though, Troy.
I know you would.
Being, you know, if you have a kid that's really good playing not up, why wouldn't you play them up, you know? But you say mentally it's just better to stay where you're at, enjoy the game, have fun.
It's like Tiger Woods, you know, his dad, you know, we always talk about Earl Woods and Tiger, and, you know, he had Tiger playing against his own age competition and just dominating. Do you agree with that, or do you think if a kid's good enough to play up, you play up?
No, I agree with that. I think a lot of it depends on the kid. If it's just flat out way too easy, then it'd be good for them to go get challenged a little bit more. But at the same time, it's not the end all. It's not that important. So you guys that do listen, you've heard JJ on the podcast. I know, John, you've heard him, and he's a really, really talented kid, and we had him playing up when we first moved to Arizona just because that was the team that he was on. And he was nervous. He was anxious. He was a little bit scared, if you want to call it that. And then we put him with his own age, and it was like a whole different demeanor shift. He was more confident. It was more fun. He was smiling more. So I just think it's an individual thing. But I would say it's not the end of the world if they play at their age and they're really good. Just let them build that leadership and that confidence. And like you said, go dominate where you're at and let them be the man.
We're talking to Troy. Go ahead, Danae.
Oh, God. I was just going to say, JJ became a leader out of it where he could, you know, the older kids, it was more intimidating. We brought him down to his level and he just soared with that. So
I just love that. And I love that, like, the dynamic of, you know, Troy is sort of more the fundamental voice in the room and Danae coming in is like, Danae, you're really interested in his confidence and sort of how he's thriving in there. You know, my middle daughter, the other day we're watching the Chiefs and the Buccaneers and the game ends. She was rooting for the Chiefs. They lost. And as she's going to bed, she says, Dad, well, the most important thing is they had fun. And the second most important thing is nobody got hurt. And then I said, yeah, but winning matters too, doesn't it? And she said, no, not really. How can you make a kid more competitive? I need her to have a little more eye of the tiger.
Oh, that's a good question. I think there's each kid's different. With our kid personally, our older kid Trey, he's competitive, but he's very chill. And then there's JJ, who's over the top competitive. So I think it's hard to motivate, but I think they figure it out if they become more serious in the sport over time and as they mature and as they build that confidence, they figure it out because nobody wants to lose. Everybody wants to win. But the reality of it is with those type of kids is they figure it out or else, unfortunately, they get weeded out.
Danae, do you have a take on that?
No. She just has a tender heart. Let her have that tender heart.
She's awesome.
I love it. Troy, maybe can you go back and maybe tell us a little bit about like how you were introduced to baseball and why it stuck with you? Because clearly this has become your life.
I got involved with T-ball. I had a orange mullet with my hair hanging out the hat with a big old belt buckle on probably. And
yes,
my dad played softball growing up. So we were always out at the field and it was just something that we kind of just grew to love. And as I got better, it got more fun and got more challenging. And I wanted that challenge and ended up playing at a higher level. So obviously when I turned 10 or 11, I got more serious and wanted to make the big leagues and, you know, started working a little bit harder at it. But I think it just really started with just the love of the game, just starting in, you know, the T-ball, playing wiffle ball in the backyard, watching my dad play softball. It was just kind of in the family.
And Danae, did you know that you were signing on for a life in baseball with Troy?
No, I did not. Absolutely not. But it was fun. We've had a lot of fun journeys. Because I started out at the beginning with him. We were in college when we met. So when he went into the pros, were we married, Troy?
Something like that. I know you like going to the game.
That was fun.
Yeah, it's fascinating to me, like, you know, because I think youth sports have changed so much. It's so much more of a commitment maybe than when I was growing up. I can remember there being, you know, a couple of practices. We had Tuesday, Thursday practice and maybe one game on, you know, Wednesday and one game on Saturday, and that was your little league season. It's so much more intensive now. How do you manage burnout?
Great question. I think you have to, again, go back to that individual kid on how, I guess, serious is a good word, how serious they want to be. Do they really, really love it? If they really love it and they want to do it, then I say let them do it. But at the same time, it is something that you should manage. You should allow your kid to play other sports if they want. And in fact, I encourage them to play other sports, even if they are serious about baseball or softball, just because it will help them in that environment. But I think it's managing each kid and not overwhelming them with too much. And really what it comes down to, especially at an early age, is how much they want it. Do they really, really, really want it? Or is it something that a parent wants for their child? There's a big difference in that.
You tweeted out a little bit ago, you can't play scared, you can't play intimidated, you can't play worried, you can't play fearful. How do you, as a parent, help your kids navigate those things?
You watch my Twitter account?
I do.
That's amazing.
I'm all over you, man. I follow you. Come on, you're a good follow.
That's good. Playing scared, it's something, all my tweets, by the way, and everything that I come about is through personal experience regularly in my life. So I deal with kids that have anxiety or worry or fear, and it's something that we always have to worry about as parents and trying to help them. Again, the magic formula is trying to figure out how to overcome that with each kid. Some kids have fear of being hit by the ball, so we got to find a way to kind of make them tougher in a nice way and tell them that it's kind of the part of the game. A lot of kids these days are over analytical with all the information that's out there. So they get, I guess, overwhelmed mentally and get worried about what's wrong with them all the time. So we got to stay positive is a big one. Staying positive in the environment that they're in to try to keep that in their mind versus what they're doing wrong all the time. So I think the fear part comes with age and maturity. I remember being scared of being hit by the ball literally when I was like 15 and 16 years old, and it kind of slowly went away. But it's all detailed, again, for each individual kid. And as a parent, we got to try to stay as positive as we can through that process.
Talking to Troy and Danae Silva, hosts of the Baseball Family Podcast. Your kid has a bad game, and I'd love for both of you to kind of weigh in on this. You know, kid has a bad game, gets into the car. What do you say to a kid after a bad game? Because I have wrestled with, because the baseball player in me wants to give instruction, but I know that's not going to be well received. What do you say when your kid gets into the car after a bad game?
Danae, go ahead.
Well, you're gonna be different thing for me. Of course, I'm the encourager. So when they get into the car, I still say good game, and I won't sit down and discuss what did you do wrong. Troy will. Or talk about that. But I just, you know, my kids aren't really hard on themselves when they're done. Unless it's been very rare that that's happened. So they just kind of bounce off the field when they're done and move on.
Yeah, our kids, we try to train them as parents to really not dwell on anything after the game. We had a situation last week where there was a bad call. We lost the game and JJ was pitching. And I said, how'd you feel about it? And he goes, well, I didn't box. And that was it. And he goes, where are we eating? And I'm like, that's awesome. We didn't really talk about it at all. So I think it's something as a parent that we got to really try to focus on, just letting them bring it up. If they have some questions that you can answer, that's fine. But to go into the car ride home and start pounding them on everything that they did wrong is definitely not going to help. Asking them questions is something that I've learned to do. And then just try to move on and just get on to the next situation, the next game, the next day.
Like one of the things that you said one time in one of the episodes, you talked about ways in which players can help their team, even if they have a bad day. There are some things you can do with energy and effort and hustle that, you know, don't show up in a box score. Can you maybe speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, again, I think it's a culture. It's a parental culture as well as a team culture. We have rules on our teams, like if you get out, your job is to go back to the dugout, talk to your teammates, encourage your teammates. You don't go sit in the corner. You don't go look at your parent and wonder what's wrong. You don't go sulk and drink your Gatorade. You get up on the fence, you encourage your teammate, you get ready to go and think about what you're going to do defensively to help the team, or if you're not playing, what you're going to do to help the team in the dugout. So it's just a constant reminder to teach them selflessness, basically, and teach them to be humble and to teach them to really be there for their teammates. And I really do believe it's a product of the environment. We as parents and coaches have to create that environment for the kids. And if they learn that, it's going to be way more beneficial for their future if they end up getting opportunities to play, you know, high school and college ball.
If you've ever had a kid on a team, you've had a nightmare parent who's part of the group in some capacity at some level. How do you manage a fellow parent's expectations? I've had parents that are friends that, you know, they're just totally disillusioned about, you know, their kid's future or maybe a college scholarship possibility. And is it my job to tell them that their kid's not getting a full ride? Or how do you manage all that? Or if you have a nightmare parent, what do you do?
Unfortunately, I am brutally honest. So that's my strength and weakness. So I will tell people this what it is because I care about the kids. You know, I care about their future and I want them to be able to accomplish whatever they want to get done. But I think brutal honesty is the key, and it's done. If it's done with a loving, caring heart, it's a whole different scenario. If you just tell a parent their kid sucks and they have no chance, that's one thing. But if you tell them, hey, you know, they're not where they're at, they could be there if they get this, this, and this, and they work hard and they become something that they're not right now, I think that's a different scenario. But yes, those problem parents are out there all the time, and I just try to The honest approach is the only way that I know how to do it.
Danae, you're in the stands more often than not, probably alongside that parent. Is there anything you can do?
For that parent, no. You just try to be a good example on the other side.
Yeah.
And you are great at that, Danae.
Yeah. There's no words. You just, I just can't believe what's happening or the chatter about that kind of stuff.
So what do you do when you hear that? Do you just sort of nod, or do you look away, or do you just say, you know, we realize that the vast majority of these kids aren't going to be drafted by a Major League Baseball team, and the vast majority of these kids are just going to be here for this experience?
If they're talking directly to me?
Sure.
Yes. That's what I would encourage them, and just tell them that it's such a small percentage that do make it. And let the kid have fun. You have to encourage the parent even just to let the kid be a kid.
Yeah.
Let the coach be the coach. And I mean, a lot of them are living this dream for themselves, I think, you know?
Yeah, totally.
From how they're speaking. So that's the hard part.
I love what you guys are doing.
I have to remind Danae about not gossiping. Just tell them no gossip, no drama in this area over here.
I love it. All right, you guys are a great team. I encourage anybody to check out the Baseball Family Podcast. Troy, Danae, thank you guys. I appreciate you. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, John. Appreciate all you do.
All right, Troy and Danae Silva, check out the Baseball Family Podcast. I think it's an important message. I think at a time in which, you know, there was hopeful news today in the state of Oregon with Governor Kate Brown sort of opening the gates for high school football to happen. My phone's blowing up with text messages from high school coaches who are just saying yes, exclamation point. They're going to get an opportunity, or at least they've got some hope now that they will be able to get games in or get a season in. But I think it's an important message, like the overarching message from Troy and Danae that is part of every episode that they do, is like, as a family, you're in it together and you're in it for your kids. You know, people will say with my kids, but you know, you should be an advocate for your kid and a supporter of your kid, because it ain't about you in the end. It shouldn't be. Like, I do think like it's really hard. I've been there. You know, I've been there even with my own kid running track and playing volleyball, and you want what's best for your kid and you want it badly for your kid. You want success, you want confidence. But I'm here to tell you, like, just letting them go through that process with your support. Your job as a parent isn't necessarily when they get into the car to tell them, hey, you know, XYZ is what you need to do better. There's a time and place for that. But your job sometimes is just to put your arm around your kid. Tell them good game. And I think this podcast, if you haven't checked it out, check out the Baseball Family Podcast. I want your phone calls on that front. 503-417-7575. Tell me what you've learned. If you have kids in sports, what have you learned? What would you do differently? I've done that even now with our middle daughter, who is now starting to play soccer. I've like committed to not making some of the mistakes that I may have made with my oldest, where, you know, I've pushed her a little too hard. And I wonder if my correction is more about me than my own kid. 503-417-7575. I think those dual interviews where I've got two guests or three guests on at once, they're difficult. Especially when I'm not in person with them, and yet, you know, but I really felt like Troy and Danae Silva delivered, and if you get a chance to listen to their podcast, do it. I think it's charming and informative. Dre is in Portland. I'll take more of your phone calls. I do have one line open at 503-417-7575. Dre, go.
Jay, so what I heard, first of all, great interview, man. So what I heard was you need to be a parent. That's they said a lot of beautiful things, a lot of really powerful things. But, you know, at the end of it all, you need to be a parent, not just by title, but by action. Right. And you know, I know my kids are older, man, but we had that routine already. You know, when I got off work, we did things. You know, I grew up playing baseball, I grew up playing basketball, and I shared that love with my kid. And it sounds like that's what they did. You know, they're doing the same thing. They're sharing, they're passing it on. That's what it's about. And it's about parenting and having that support. But one quick thing, something that's very important that wasn't touched on is how amazing it is how a sport can tarnish a relationship, depending on what a kid does or doesn't do. And I felt that in my family, just, you know, you feel that, you know, you should have done this. It hurts relationships as opposed to just supporting a kid along the way. It's what you should have done. So I think there's a lot to be said about that also. Thanks, Jay. I appreciate it.
Yeah. No, I think, you know, something that's really interesting there is, you know, a lot of it is common sense. And we know it's common sense. But as Dre is pointing out, like, you got a parent, right? That's common sense. But here's the thing. We use metaphors or descriptors like we say people are drunk. Not literally, but parents get drunk on the idea of club sports. Parents get drunk on the idea that their kid is going to go off and get a scholarship. This is their thing. They're born to do it. I can tell you, I have been there. I have been inebriated. I watched my kid in like the third or fourth grade, my oldest. She ran a 400 meter dash. And I watched her run. And I went, oh my gosh, this is what she's born to do. Like, I've covered Olympics, okay? And I watched my kid run the 400 in a CYO race and win it. And I looked at her. I had tears in my eyes. As a parent, I was insanely proud. But I was also blowing about a 0.15, you know? And when we talk about, I'm not talking literally. I'm saying I'm just drunk with the idea that this was bigger than maybe what it really was. I was seeing her, projecting her as a high school track and field athlete. And man, maybe she could run in college, or maybe this is what she's supposed to do. And what I very quickly realized, like a year later as I watched her run, she was growing. And the year earlier, she had been very fluid, and like her stride was just beautiful. She looked like a deer. And a year later, she'd grown like 4 inches. She was, you know, she's developing, and I'm watching her. And I'm like, man, she doesn't look as fluid anymore. And then the next year, wow, she really does look fluid again. It was like you were watching a kid grow up. And so what we're saying to people is, parent, have common sense while we know you're drunk. Because you are going to get drunk on it if you are a parent, especially with that first kid. I'm determined with our middle daughter. She doesn't know it. She has no idea that I've been through this before. And by the way, some of the parents that are friends of hers don't have any idea either. And I'm watching and listening and I'm hearing. I'm going, yeah, I was there too. I heard this stuff too. And I'm really trying to rein myself in when it comes to these younger two daughters. I'm really going to make a concerted effort to not push. I'm going to let them drive. And I'm just going to be there in support. Because I got in there with the oldest, and we got into the club volleyball world, and it's not unlike the club soccer world or club baseball or 7-on-7 in football. Like, you got, you know, there's a lot of parents that are drunk on sort of the upside. And I can tell you that, like, the mistake I made with the older kid, and I have not even had this conversation with her, when she was 12 or 13, she was sailing along and loving it. And she worked really hard and almost went year-round at the age of 13 in volleyball. And made the team that she wanted to make for the club that she was in. And her club was like one of the best, if not the best, clubs in the region. And it was like the highest level of what she could do. And she was so insanely proud of herself. And at that point, I realized that was the victory in her youth sports career. She had trained for something she wanted to do, and she made it. And I remember after the tryout, she was in the parking lot. She was so proud of herself. I high-fived her. One of the coaches walked by her and said, hey, you had a great tryout, and high-fived her, and she was beaming. And that was the victory. It wasn't a match. It wasn't a spike or a serve that she could have had in any game. It was that she had set a goal for herself of making that team, and she made it and worked for it, and that was the payday. Like, the season hadn't even started. She made the team. That was it. And I realize now what happened after that is we began to go, all right, you need private lessons. You need this. You need strength training. You're going to need to come back next year, a year stronger. And by about a year and a half later, she was fried. She was over it. She was playing for her high school, and she was like, Dad, I don't think I want to play anymore. And I realized, I said, you know, some of that was me. I was aware of it, but I was a little drunk. And I'll be honest with you, even at age 12, I looked out into the regional tournament that was held at the Oregon Convention Center when they were 12 years old. And I went around, I watched all the teams play, and I saw two players that I thought could play college ball at the age of 12. And guess which two players got Division I scholarships? One's going to Oregon, one's going to Washington. Everybody else, I thought, well, maybe they have a chance, or maybe they'll play at a lower level, or maybe they'll play at Southern Oregon, or maybe they'll play at Lynn Field, or maybe, you know, I was pretty much on, and I'm no volleyball expert, but I could see other kids and other parents' kids accurately, and maybe not as accurate with my own kid. And I think that's a blind spot we all have, because Dre said it. He says, you just got to be a parent. But I also, as he said that, I circled on my notepad here. I keep a notepad during the show, and by the end of it, I look like, you know, it looks like a beautiful mind, like the room that you walk into and you go, this person's crazy. But on my notepad, I wrote, like, how do you have common sense when you're drunk? Because parenting, be a parent, is a common sense message. Just be a parent. It's true. Just have common sense. But you're spinning around, you're a little inebriated, and, you know, you're a little bit off, and your perception's off with what's going on. Support your kids. Love your kids. Be there. Let them lead a little bit. That's all I'm here to say. That's what I learned. Now, I may come back to you 5 years from now and be like, all right, now what I've learned is don't course correct this way, or read each kid for their, you know, their level of enthusiasm. But I really do think one of the gifts my dad gave me, my dad played professional baseball and he played at a high level. He was in AAA with the Mets. You've heard him on this show. And one of the gifts my dad gave me was he coached me a little. He coached me a little. He gave me instruction that I needed privately off to the side. He coached me a little. But when games were being played, he wasn't always the coach of my team. He was down the right field line watching. And he did that because his father had been kind of invasive in his youth sports life. And I think he was course correcting himself. And I realized, I look back, I was like, Dad, why don't you coach my team? And he's like, okay, I'll coach your team. And I realized, like, you know, for myself, I don't want to be the parent that's over-involved, and I don't want to be the parent that's absentee. There's a fine line in the middle there. I loved watching my daughter play six-year-old soccer this last year. Her coach was phenomenal. Coached by the mother of another parent who was just awesome. I just watched. I observed. She got it. She taught fundamentals. There was enough competition out on the soccer field where it was competitive, but that's not all that mattered. But it was there, and she just continually, game after game, set each kid up for success. Like, every player on that team, I thought, had moments where they had their own version of success. And I just thought that was a brilliant coaching job. And I tried to tell the coach at the end of the year, I was like, hey, you did a really good job. You're a good coach. And I'm not quite sure she got it, but I have spent a life in sports watching at a high level and watching youth sports and playing and participating and coaching. I've been around it. I've seen it done wrong. And I think the beauty of it is when you see it done right, it's almost like being at a baseball or football or a soccer game where you leave and you go, gosh, I didn't even notice the umpires were there. Like, if you leave and you go, gosh, I really didn't even notice the coaching, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. Because I've seen Little League coaches in a 9-year-old Little League game call timeout in the middle of the inning, switch the left fielder and the right fielder because they want their better fielder, because it's a left-handed or right-handed batter up. And I'm literally slap my forehead and go, does that coach not realize how embarrassing that is for the right fielder to have to switch to left field in the middle of the inning? Coach is announcing to everyone in the stadium, everyone in the surrounding area, I don't believe in you.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.